intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. Ed, thanks for showing up tonight.
It was pretty close for a while. I was I'm in no mood.
Well, I guess we could probably start this off interestingly. I can't imagine I was going to actually ask this question even once this year. But the question I got to ask you is, do you think Notre Dame will be playing in a bowl game at the end of the season?
Well, let's see. What, they're 4-4 now. I think they'll beat Tulsa and Army. Will 6-6 get them into a bowl game? I suppose somebody will take them.
Somebody would. The question would they go? And I would think you probably have to go. I mean, in this situation, you don't not go.
You know,
go.
last week the big issue, the big storyline was it's fall break and the students are gone. And remember reading that, you know, they weren't going
to
do
a little extra time
practicing.
To prepare.
They were just going
to
stick to their 20 hours, even though the NCAA rules let them practice more than that if they want to, since school's not in session. Well, they should have been out there about 12 hours a day, because
yeah, exactly. Well, that or at least the coaches should have been watching 12 more hours of film a day. Because I will say, you know, there's probably a whole heck of a lot we could talk about, and I will say this. I listened to his after-game comments today. I went and listened to the audio, and I did like what I heard. I'll definitely say that I felt a lot better this morning than I did yesterday going to bed. Yeah, exactly. But I liked what he said. The conclusion you can draw from it is we just flat out got out-coached from the standpoint that we did not figure out the Veer offense before we went into that game. I think they're going to figure it out now, but they clearly didn't have it figured out going into the game. And that's kind of disappointing at the college level.
Well, I'll give you my thing. I think he's falling on his sword. I mean, because I'm sorry, but to me, this one's on the players. The coaches aren't idiots. They gave him enough of an idea of what was going to go on you know, you still have to get off blocks. You still have to play with a high level of emotion and intensity. You still have to, you know, be mentally into the game, you know, not be throwing the ball into triple coverage and not be, you know, cheating up on guys and not be tackling people who are, you know, out there for, you know, long passes. I mean, to me, this is totally on the players. I didn't think that the most disturbing thing to me about this was that it looked like, you know, too many performances we've seen in the last couple of years. A mentally soft, unemotional, no leadership team that as soon as things started working against them, maybe packed it in is too strong a word, but they had no answer in terms of intensity and emotion Saturday. It looked like they were on fall break in the Bahamas with a lot of their classmates, and that's what makes me crazy. I think Brian Kelly is taking one for the team right now, and I hope that he is taking a little different tact with his players, because I don't think that maybe he got out coached. All that stuff is true. I mean, they got beat in every single phase of the game, and I'm sure the coaches didn't necessarily do a particularly good job. But it's not like these guys weren't prepared enough to play this Navy offense. Option football is option football. You still have to, you know, you still have to play. It's football,
yeah,
Mike.
That,
it's
but
not,
I
it's
would,
not. It's not like. It's not
it,
like.
It
a,
is, but they had no answer. The reason I would argue that they got shown. I agree with what you're saying. That clearly was part of it. That was a component of it. I mean, the fact is, we had the ball on the 1 yard line. Not even the 1 yard line. The half yard line. And we couldn't get our offensive line, who outweighs them by 70
to me,
pounds
that's attitude
per man,
and effort. You,
to get
you
any
hunker
kind of
down,
a,
you push the guy in front of you more than he's pushing you, and you get into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, and you get in the half yard, and that's just pathetic that we did not
like,
get that.
It's not like Tommy Reese is trying to do the sneak. Our quarterback is 6'4", 230.
Right, and that being the case, I would say that, yeah, that there's a clear indication that our guys weren't in it, and I would agree with that. However, you against the option, you cannot give up 200 yards to the fullback. I mean, that just is inexcusable. And, you know, granted, you could say it was guys on our end, but it was more than that. And I just think that...
Yeah, but if you get...
You know, there's a lot of things that do go into...
At least 100 of those are after initial contact. So, to me, that's on the players, not on the coaches. Okay? Maybe the coaches screwed up... Maybe
some of
the coaches
was,
screwed
up
the first 100 yards, but the second 100 yards was effort.
Granted, and it goes both ways, and it's there. I just think that, you know, his comments about the veer, they were veering off tackle, which they hadn't seen before. I mean, I don't buy that. I mean, they watch game film. There's only so many guys, so many different ways you can block the triple option. So you can't sit here and tell me that there was a way you guys didn't consider, and that's why we fell apart. I think he's taking one on the sword for his assistants, too, is what he's also doing. Now, having said that, I do like what I heard from him. I do like that
he's a good talker.
He's a guy that is... he is. He's definitely that. And he said all the right things, and he didn't, you know, he didn't make excuses.
Well,
he just flat out said,
I mean, anybody who watched the film of that thing, I don't know. I mean, it's... You know, if they come out, if it truly is what you think, and you know, beat Tulsa by 3 touchdowns, then I'll come back on next week and say he went about this the right way, pushed the right buttons, you know, whatever. But there's nothing in me right now that says that, you know, that they'll come out and play at a different level this coming Saturday. I mean, I don't have any reason to think that they will. I mean, I certainly hope that they will.
Well, they're gonna. Yeah, I would agree. They're gonna have to. Let's break it down a little bit. In that, all right, what went wrong and how did it spin out of control? It was a 14-10 football game with us having them not stopped us at all, and we get the ball, and all we have to do is put a couple drives together, a couple first downs, and we're going to be in field goal range, potentially putting it within one before the half.
Well, we were really deep in our own territory. We would have needed more than a couple first downs.
More than a couple, but the point is they hadn't stopped this at all. And with us having the ball, you thought to yourself prior to that possession, okay, here we go, and what's the very first thing he does? He gets a 6'4 quarterback, gets the ball swatted right back in his face, right on first down. You know, so all of a sudden from there it just got worse real quick, to the point where he fluttered one. And you know, did TJ Jones not turn it in like he should have? I mean, if you're Dane Chris, you're probably trying to use that excuse, but the problem is all day long he didn't have a tight spiral on the ball. I mean, I don't know what's going on with his throwing mechanics, but he's got a floater coming out of his hand more times than not, and that's a little frustrating to watch. Now the touchdown pass to TJ Jones, he did zip that one in there, and you know, that's what we're used to seeing from him. But yeah, I mean, he had that into the mix, and then all of a sudden they come down, and not only do they not run the clung out, but they score, and now it's 21-10 with them getting the kickoff to start the half.
Well, listen, it's no mystery in terms of how the game with Navy is going to go. I mean, you know, in other words, their game is to basically have sustained drives, and that means that the pressure is really, I mean, you know, again, if the defense plays well and shuts down Navy, which I don't think either of us thought was going to happen, they were going to get their rushing yards and they were going to get their drives. But the issue is to, you know, stop them one out of every 3 times or stop them one out of every 4 times.
Exactly.
But that means your offense has to be really efficient and productive. And also, it can't make mistakes. And so when you take the first half, a huge mistake by not being able to score from the one, and a huge mistake by throwing an interception inside your own, you know, 30-yard line, then that puts all the more pressure on the defense, which, you know, as we've already discussed, had absolutely nothing, had no answer. So,
Yeah, that was more than anything the most defeating thing about the game, was that we literally didn't have a single answer, and we didn't do anything to adjust in the second half to have any
kind
of answer.
But you know what, to me, the whole mental toughness thing is where this comes into play, because the fact of the matter is that the one time, you know, while the game was still winnable, that the defense did have an answer. Ethan Johnson made a nice play, forced a punt. That's when the offense took over. And what Notre Dame football is when that happens, that's when you put together the 87-yard drive, take the lead 17-14 before halftime, and have control of the game and come out in the third quarter and kick the crap out of them. But instead what happened is,
right,
what do we do when the defense really finally steps up and forces a punt? We hand them the ball, you know, on a terrible throw, on a terrible sequence of downs, you know, inside our own territory, and they take control of the game. You know, that's not Notre Dame football.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Right. No, I'd agree. I'd say it's going to be interesting to see how Kelly approaches Crist from this day forward, because I really think that, you know, obviously Dane is in a spot where he's about as low as he's been the entire season. And Brian didn't let up on him at all when he came to the sidelines. I mean, he let him have it. And it's going to be interesting to see if, in fact, Brian feels like his confidence is shot and he's got to rework him and get his confidence back up, which means you got to approach him differently. Or maybe he doesn't and he just sticks with it and he says, look, if you're going to play in my system, that's how it's going to be and that's the way it is. It's going to be just interesting to see how that plays out, because I personally think that's how the rest of the season is going to go. Dane is going to have to pick this up on his shoulders, and he's going to have to march this team. Otherwise, it could fall out of
whack. You know, I want to last at the end of last week, the show that we did, and we were talking about quarterbacks, and I just wasn't thinking clearly, because in my list of guys who were, you know, what I would call, you know, Notre Dame quarterbacks, which to me is always, you have to measure by wins more than anything else. And I left off, you know, two of the best off the list, you know, our kind of doormate, Tony Rice, which I don't know how I couldn't have mentioned Tony, and my basically favorite Notre Dame quarterback of all time, Kevin McDougal, who I thought was the quintessential Notre Dame quarterback. He played smart. He played efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. He made the plays that had to be made, and he took advantage of the talent around him, and he won. He just freaking won football games, and he didn't. And sometimes he won them by not losing them, and sometimes he won them by making plays. And even in a game when he was involved in, when the defense, he almost came back and beat Boston College, you know. So
right. Well, he did orchestrate that drive.
So, you know, so I'm sorry, yeah. I forgot them last week. But the fact of the matter is that I don't care if it's the spread, if it's the veer. I don't care what kind of offense we run. I don't care. But, you know, you got to win. And you got to beat Navy. And, you know, Dane Crist has played enough football now at this point, has been around the program enough. I mean, Kevin McDougal hadn't played a snap before he got his chance. So you got to figure out a way to win those football games, and that's what I was really most disappointed about Saturday, was when there was that opening there, you know, he threw a bad interception instead of taking him down for a score.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how he recovers from this, because I really think it's going to dictate the rest of the season. If he can just come out and just play football and just not worry about anything else but being a competitor and just playing the game, I think he's going to be all right. I think he will recover from this, and he'll be fine. If he doesn't, if he does nothing but let the whispers get to him, then it's not going to bode very well for him, and it's going to be an incredibly frustrating season for him. Because, you know, he is the quarterback, and the number two guy that gets the limelight shine on him, besides Brian Kelly, is Dane Crist. So, you know, it doesn't fall far from him. So, unfortunately, he's going to be in the spotlight, and it's time for him to come through.
Yeah, the system requires it. I mean, you can't have a successful, you know, team, a successful season, a successful game, a successful series of downs without, you know, high quality quarterback play in this offense, in this system. I mean, Brian Kelly, this is his, you know, you have to have that or you're basically, you know, in a lot of trouble. So,
right, exactly. It's going to be tough. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this team is going to pack it in. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, we're going to go out against Tulsa and lay an egg and experience the same thing we did last year. I don't see that happening. I really don't. I just think it simply was a matter of us and a combination. You know, the players obviously didn't show up, but I also thought that we just did not have an answer for the Veer, and it showed. And I got to believe that game film will be watched more than any other one next year in preparation for that game.
But see, to me, that's kind of one of the interesting things about all this is that, you know, if I'm the Navy coaching staff, you know, I mean, that to me is like good coaching, is when you throw a wrinkle in there, as soon as the other side starts making adjustments, that's when you go back to your bread and butter, or that's when you go back to a different package, or, you know, it's no difference than, you know.
No, it is, but I would argue, and I don't know, you know, I don't know.
The whole halftime trying to figure out what they were doing in the first half, and they came out in the second half and ran what they ran against Georgia Southern and Temple and whoever else they played this year.
I would agree, Ed, but and I think the way that you beat that offense is you have to be unpredictable on defense. You cannot line up and allow them to attack you, and you're just going to throw blocks off. That's not how it works.
I mean, you know more about this than I do, but to me, that doesn't make any sense, because if Notre Dame should be able to play a straight-up defense against the Naval Academy and, you know, I mean, play a decent defensive football game just based on pure athletic ability alone. I mean, how could that? I mean,
I would agree with
David
that.
Only,
except
David
that
only
this,
beats Goliath, in the, you know, like on one lucky slingshot a year. Okay, so
exactly. Over the course of the game, you're right. You would think that would happen. My argument would be this: in that offense, somebody is going to be unblocked.
Right.
Okay, somebody is unblocked, and what you can't do is allow them to decide who that's going to be every single play. There has to be, you can't always have Manti Te'o take the pitch man. It can't always be that way. You have to mix it up. You have to cause confusion for them. You got to stop them on first down so that it's second and nine, because then immediately you've just shortened their ability. But the problem was it was second and six all day long or less. That was the majority of the length they had to go.
I can't remember a first down where they didn't make 12 yards.
It was after. That's my point is that when they did get the second down, it was six or less all day long, nothing more than that. We didn't have them in a third and long the entire day. And the only way you get to third and long is by somebody making a play like Ethan Johnson on that one, or Te'o covering the pitch man and nailing him behind the line of scrimmage. We just didn't have any of that. We had nothing, no explosion. And I guess it is just because, you know, like I said, we didn't come to play. The players didn't show up. I agree with that. There wasn't, and granted, not to make excuses, but clearly missing Floyd on the field hurt us. I mean, there were several instances where I'm thinking to myself, all right, third down, if we get any kind of man-to-man coverage with Floyd, if we can't beat their guy, you know, then we got no business to be on the field. And that's what hurts, missing a guy like that. You don't think it really matters all that much, but yeah, it does. It does in a third down situation where you can get them in a man-to-man coverage on Michael Floyd. So I definitely think that hurt. I mean, we had guys that had not played all year long. In an offense like the spread offense, it's going to affect it, timing and all that stuff. It does matter. I mean, you can't sit here and say that had no bearing on the game.
I thought
it did.
Duvall made a couple catches, and at least he lowered his shoulder and lowered the boom on guys a couple times. I mean, I didn't watch closely enough to know if he had an overall good game, but
he's a physical kid. But I saw him a couple times where he's running his route, and I could tell he wasn't 100% sure. You can just tell that look in a player where he's like, oh, man, was I just doing the right thing? And that that's not a good sign. And so, you know, all these things came into play, and it's frustrating for us, and it's hard.
This is an issue that I think is, you know, is going to be something that we just are going to have to deal with, especially during these growing pains, is, you know, we can't really run the ball effectively until we get the spread passing game figured out and start running that efficiently. I mean, there isn't kind of like a switch where suddenly we can become, you know, this isn't, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, it's very interesting to me because I was, you know, there was part of me that's like, you know, did we hire the wrong ex-Cincinnati coach? Because it's pretty impressive what Michigan State's doing this year. I mean, they are balanced. They are tough. They're really nasty.
Yeah.
And they made a really, you know, they were in a big hole on Saturday against a pretty, you know, interesting kind of explosive team on the road. And they did what they needed to do to get back into it. But the fact of the matter is that they can run the football. They can line up and knock you off the line of scrimmage and get yardage. And we can't do that. If we get a decent run, usually it's because, you know, the other team doesn't have, you know, a bunch of people in the box because they're out spread out guarding our five guys that we have in, you know, because they're guarding against the throw primarily. So, you know, it's because it's a pass first offense. It is a little different than kind of what we. Yeah.
It is different, but it's going to stay that way. There's going to be we aren't going to line up in the eye anytime soon.
I don't know. I think that, you know, it'll depend on personnel, and you know, you already seen that he's, you know, kind of fooling around with the pistol and having, you know, Sierra behind Christ, and you know, they'll have some things to make the running game a little bit more downhill. As those things kind of become, you know, kind of fashionable in college football. But, you know, I don't know. But that is something that, you know.
Well, unfortunately, we can't, we're not going to come to any conclusions tonight. We might have to have a show every single night of this week before the game next week just so we can clear the air.
It was just overall, it was incredibly disappointing. 3 hours.
It really was. It was devastating. I mean, it was, as I said, yesterday I felt horrible. I felt better today after listening to his press conference. The comments that he made directly after the game, and only because I liked what he said. I mean, I really did, and I think that, I don't think Brian Kelly is the problem. Don't kid yourself. It's not that at all. I don't know if I go as far as putting the complete blame on the players.
Well, no, when you lose, it's a shared, you know, I'm not saying that it's 100%.
It is. It's a shared thing, but maybe you're convincing me a little bit more that the players were at fault. I really was disappointed in that. We just had no answer for them, like none.
And I think that there is, you know, he talked about this a little bit in his press conference today in terms of, you know, I mean, if our defense plays like this in 5 years, I'm not going to be here. And, you know, our kids played hard the whole game and play, you know, and I just, you know, and we have leader, you know, there wasn't much leadership when I got here and we're still developing that. And, but I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, that is, to me, that's kind of coach speak, for a young team, a team that's learning.
Right.
But I mean, he's got to be pretty disappointed with what he got on Saturday because they just, you know, I don't see anybody on the offensive line that seems to have kind of, you know, that seems to take responsibility for everything that's going on. I mean, I don't see anybody.
Yeah,
you
know, we need a Jeff Payne again. We need somebody like that.
That's
a
perfect example, Mike, of somebody who is obviously clearly in charge of maybe not just the offensive line, but just the entire unit in terms of an emotional, vocal. And again, you know, again, not rah rah. It has to be that. I mean, Jeff Fain was a hell of a center, and that's what made him an effective, you know, leader as well as, you know, as a vocal leader and as a, you know, guy that could get after people because he was also doing his job each and every play and doing it really, really well and doing it
right.
Yeah, he had both.
Clearly, we're just not getting enough of that. I mean, I don't know.
You know, who was getting in the mugs of these guys? You know. After the first couple series on defense that was like, hey, wake up. This is not kind of like a trip to see, you know, to, I mean, if you're daydreaming about going and having a nice dinner, you know, with the, you know, the Calabrese tailgater afterwards, or, you know, New Jersey kids, you know, and seeing your family afterwards. This is real, you know, and these guys are going to punch us in the mouth, and they take no prisoners. And if they smell blood and smell weakness, you know, up here, up front here, we're going to get our ass handed to us. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was. That is exactly what happened. Well, let's cut it there before we do any more damage to ourselves. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.